Seeing that our Torah portions a lot on the sacrifices, and there's no longer a temple and there's no longer a sacrifice, I'm going to be speaking to you today out of the passage from the Ketuvah HaShelekim of Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I've chosen that because coming up to Pesach, I just felt that it was an important time of the biblical year to be speaking on this, as well as I'll probably speaking to myself. Being on the spectrum, we can be doubt ourselves quite a bit, quite a lot, and we all need affirmation of knowing that we are one with Yah. And I think that's important, especially during this Pesach time, that we realise how much Yah wants us to be one with him, and that we are already one with him. So let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you for this word today, and I just pray that it speaks to the hearts and minds of everyone in the room and listening online. And also, Abba Father, to be able for them to just take what I am saying and what you have given me and realise that they are loved, cherished, and special in Yah's sight. I ask that in Yeshua's name. Amen. And also, Shabbat Shalom and hello to Devon, who's watching online. So, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, which we read in the AENT, but I've got it in the Complete Jewish Bible. I prefer that one. It makes more sense to me. So if we could have that up, please, guys. I exhort you, brothers, in view of Elohim's mercies, to offer yourselves as a sacrifice, living and set apart for Yehovah. This will please him. It's the logical temple worship for you. In other words, do not let yourselves be conformed to the standards of the Olam Hazeh, that is, this world. Instead, keep letting yourselves be transformed by the renewing of your minds, and you will know that Elohim wants and what Elohim wants, and will agree that what he wants is good, satisfying, and able to succeed. There is nothing that Yah asks of us that we can't do. There are many famous battlegrounds that have been throughout history. They are the names of places of great victories and monumental defeats. Names like Gallipoli, Tobruk, and of course the years of Vietnam, the Gulf War, and Afghanistan. Conjure up to me battles that have immortalised these places. I had a grandfather in Tobruk. I had an uncle in Vietnam, and I had a son in the Gulf War and in Afghanistan. It all is part of my family DNA, I suppose, that from way back in Gallipoli, the people in our family have defended our country. We also think of great battles of the scriptures, such as Jericho, Ai, Gethsemane or Gat Shemenom, Golgotha, Armageddon that is yet to come. And many brave soldiers have spilled their blood upon the battlefields because they believed in a cause and they loved a country. But there are battles that are being fought every day, and these battles will never be chronicled in the annals of history. These are the unseen battles. They are being fought at this very moment. They are being fought in this very building. They are being fought in this very room. The battleground is not a piece of terra firma. We can't put our foot on it. It is not a naval manoeuvre or a sortie flown over a distant enemy. The battle is not being fought for land, oil, food, or even political posturing. The stakes are much higher than that. The victor in this battle will realise a much greater reward. It's an eternal reward. It is the battleground of our minds. If there was ever a battle that we must fight and a victory that we must win, this is it. I don't believe our greatest enemy is HaSatan. Yes, he is the adversary that is seeking to devour us, even attack us and our minds by telling us we are not worthy or far worse, so that we doubt our every thought. But the scriptures make it plain that he is a defeated enemy. He's already defeated. Yeshua defeated him at Golgotha and in hell when he took the keys to death and hell and the grave. Yeshua arose victorious and gave the victory to his messianic community. No, HaSatan is not the greatest problem. The greatest problem is ourselves. And I know I'm my biggest problem. Locked up in the minds of all of us are many things. There are secrets that no one will ever know. There are fears that we don't admit, that we hope remain undiscovered. There are doubts, doubts about ourselves, doubts about others, maybe doubts about Yah. And it is in these secret recesses of our minds that the battle rages. Shaul refers to this battlefield as the carnal mind. He says in Romans 8 verses 6 and 7, having one's mind controlled by the old nature is death, but having one's mind controlled by the Ruach is life and shalom. For the mind controlled by the old nature is hostile to Elohim, because it does not submit to Yehovah's Torah. Indeed, it cannot. Simply put, our natural selves tend to fight against the things of Yah. We are at odds with him and his ways and have no way of reconciling those differences on our own. The natural man is at war with all things spiritual. We just have to look at what types of thinking and terms of references are being pushed in today's world, of which we are expected to acknowledge and adhere to. And if we don't, we're called a bigot or a homophobe or some phobe of some kind. Maybe even a racist. But that's what we're battling at the moment. It's a mind battle. It's a huge mind battle, and it's getting worse. When we try to understand the things of Yah with the natural mind, we will always come up short. The things of Yehovah must be received and understood through trusting or faith. And we learn in the book of Messianic Jews, Hebrews, where it says in Messianic Jews 11:3 and A, by trusting, we understand that the universe was created through the spoken word of Yehovah. Man may exhaust all his resources, all his knowledge, all technology, and still never understand the ways of Yehovah. It doesn't make sense that a spoken word can create a universe. It's not logical to think that an iron axe head can float, or that a man could walk on water. We can't explain how Jericho's walls falling flat at the sound of a trumpet and a shout of victory. I can't imagine it happening. I don't know about you, but it did happen. It's been proven. And 5,000 men would never be satisfied with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, let alone all the women and children that were with them. We only believe and understand these things through trust or faith in the scriptures. It is precisely here that we face our biggest battles. Many of us have been taught these stories of scriptures since we were very small. Many of us have worked through the doubts we may have had and now embrace them with trust. But trust is not just for the past, because when we read in Romans 1 and verse 17, it says, for in it is revealed how Elohim makes people righteous in his sight. And from beginning to end, it is through trust. As the Tanakh puts it, the person who is righteous will live his life by trust. Some people say faith, others I prefer trust. We must learn to go from trust to trust continually. We must take the trust we have relegated to the past and appropriate it to today. We must live by trust. And to do that, we must win the battle of our minds. That is keeping the trust without losing your mind. And that's the title of my message. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, which I'm basing this message, is a passage that many of you could probably quote. But I want to look more closely at it. So I'm going to read it again. I exhort you, therefore, brothers, in view of Elohim's mercies, to offer yourselves as a sacrifice, living and set apart for Yehovah. Now, there's no longer a temple. There's no longer sacrifices. But we have to look at ourselves. Yeshua was the ultimate sacrifice. But we also have to look at ourselves as a sacrifice. Because this will please Yehovah. It is the logical temple worship. Our bodies are now the tabernacle, the place where Yehovah dwells to live within us. So we don't need a temple. Yehovah's Ruach is within us. And that's the temple worship for us. In other words, do not let yourselves be conformed to the standards of the Olam Hazeh. Yes, some of us have to say certain things before meetings and certain things before work every day to go along with government or requirements. But we don't need to welcome ourselves into the country that we already belong in. You know, it's so hard to be able to accept the fact that we've got to welcome ourselves into a country that we were born in. But that's what Yah means by not belonging to the world. Instead, keep letting yourselves be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you will know that Elohim, what Elohim wants, and you will agree with what he wants is good, satisfying, and able to succeed. You know, we all have our secret ways of not bowing down to doing what the government or whatever is demanding of us in this day and age, or what is norm in this day and age. Maybe I look at it and I see the shooting at the Christian school in America this week, where 3 children and 3 adults were killed. And not once has anyone mentioned the children or the parent or the staff of that school that were killed. All they are mentioning is the person who did it and the what's going to take place today in America with people wearing guns on their shirts of that community of the person who committed the murder. Not one person has said a thing about that beautiful Christian child, the daughter of a pastor that was killed. Those beautiful Christian families who just been completely destroyed and devastated with what happened, and not one person has mentioned them. Because all attention is on the norms of today rather than the victim. The person that perpetrated that shooting is not a victim. That person made a choice and had carefully planned it out. This is what prompted me with this message. Purely and simply by bowing down to the norms of today, we are bowing down to man. We have to belong to Yah and live according to his purpose and his righteousness. We mustn't be conformed to the standard of the Olam Hazeh. Sha'ul said that the living sacrifice that we present to Yehovah is our logical temple worship. This is often taken out of context. The things we do to serve Yah is logical and reasonable. It is not extreme or excessive by meeting here on Shabbat, observing his Torah, and it's often been construed for this verse to mean that Yah wasn't imposing anything on us that would be unreasonable or unusual. Although that is the English definition of the word reasonable, the Hebrew context is much different. Reasonable in English is translated as logical or rational in Hebrew. So having reason or understanding is fine. Serving Yah is a choice we make. It's a choice based on our reasoning. It's a choice based on our logical steps that we make and our ability to reason. But the very next scriptures may seem irrational to you, and I know it did to me for many years. It comes out of Tehillim Psalms 148, verses 3 to 5. It says, praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all shining stars. Praise him, highest heavens and waters from the heavens above. Let them praise the name of Yehovah, for he commanded and they were created. And in verses 7 to 10, praise Yehovah from the earth, sea monsters and watery depths. Fire, hail, snow and mist, storm winds that obey his word. Mountains and every hill, fruit trees and all the cedars, wild animals and all the livestock, creeping reptiles and flying birds. I took many, many years to get my head around that scripture, because in my irrational thinking was that how can trees praise Yah? How can the frost praise Yah? How can inanimate objects praise Yah? Until the penny dropped and I came to the realization that all things were created by him and for him, and therefore all things were created to praise him. Only mankind is given the ability to make a rational decision to praise Yah. We can choose to do it or choose not to do it. But the trees and the wild animals and the fire and the hail and the snow, they cannot decide that, because they were told to do it and they do it. That's why they produce, because they're praising Yah. It is this decision that we often battle. Serving Yehovah is about choices. Choices only mankind was given the ability to make. Choices that each and every one of us must make individually. Yehovah told Israel in Devarim or Deuteronomy chapter 11, 26 to 28a, see, I am setting before you a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the mitzvot of Yehovah, your Elohim, that I'm giving you today, and the curse, if you don't listen to the mitzvot of Yehovah, your Elohim. He gave Israel a choice. And what when Yehoshua said in Yehoshua or Joshua chapter 24, 15a, if it seems bad to you to serve Yehovah, then choose today whom you will serve. And you all know what Yehoshua said after that. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yehovah. But he gave everyone that choice. Choose today whom you will serve. We all need to realize that. We all need to keep that in our mind. Who are we going to serve? If we're not serving Yehovah, if we are serving someone else, then that can bring a curse. If we put ourselves before Yehovah, that can bring on a curse upon ourselves. We have to make sure that we get the I out and put Yah in. And Yeshua said in Yahu or Matthew 16:24, when Yeshua told his Talmudim, if anyone wants to come after me, let him say no to himself, take up his execution stake and keep following me. When we make the choice to follow Yeshua, it is reasonable and logical service. It is a rational, logical decision prompted by trust in Yehovah's word. Anything else leads to a shallow experience that will not last. A decision based on an emotional appeal will seldom see us through. When the emotion is gone, so is the commitment. We see that in the wreckages of marriages daily. True repentance is a rational decision. Some people will repent out of fear. Others repent for convenience, like, well, it'll get them off my back. And still others repent because they were caught. But true repentance is by definition a changing of one's mind, a changing of one's actions, and doing a complete turnaround to go down that narrow path. And this is why Shaul said in Romans 12 and verse 2, instead, keep letting yourselves be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a continual thing that we have to do. I have been a believer for 71 years, but I still have to get into my mind and give it a hit every now and then and think, that is not logical thinking. You've got to change and transform and renew your mind. That's because of my ASD. And I get all these doubts rise up and all these things happen. And I just get overwhelmed. But Yah allows us to go through those things so that we can then spend time with him and continue to renew and transform our mind and make us realize that, hey, Psalm 139 says, I'm awesomely made. How can I think those things about me? Psalm 39 says he knows everything about me, every hair on my head, every thought I make. How can I doubt those things? I have to get into his word so he can speak to me to renew my mind. Life-changing power of repentance rests on the fact that we change, especially our thinking or renewing our mind. And that's how to keep the trust without losing your mind. Sometimes I think I do. I have to keep renewing it, not just once, but continually. Sometimes it can be daily. We must win the battle over carnal thoughts that lie dormant in your minds. It's an ongoing process, daily, hourly, even moment by moment. We must renew our minds. Shaul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, and every arrogance that raises itself up against the knowledge of Elohim, we take every thought captive and make it obey HaMashiach. That is logical service. That is serving Yah because we choose to serve him. And that's the kind of service that will allow us to acknowledge Romans 12:2b. And 12:2b says, so that you will know what Elohim wants and will agree that what he wants is good, satisfying and able to succeed. You will always be able to succeed when you do according to what Yehovah wants. We've identified the battlegrounds as our minds. We've established the choices we make determine the outcome. So now let me speak about some of the battles we fight and how to be victorious. There are some things that we believe about Yah that are erroneous. If we allow these wrong thoughts to fester in our minds, this will prevent us from rendering logical service and from winning the battle. There are people who have determined in their minds that they are too bad for Yah to love them. It may be because of past failures, maybe because of some horrific sin in their past, or even told by someone in their childhood or youth that they are worthless and they will never amount to anything. They will have difficulty to ever feel that they are worthy of grace. Others may think that every time you think you've gotten the victory, the past comes back to defeat you. It is time to realise that the Yah I'm speaking about is a Yah of love. He did not come to destroy you. He is not sitting on his throne watching your every move so he can call down hell, fire and brimstone on you. Even if you were told that as a child, as was the case especially in my upbringing. Yah's watching you, he's going to get you. You know, that's how I was raised. Jochanan wrote in Jochanan John 3:17, "For Yehovah did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but rather so that through him the world might be saved." Yeshua's one desire is for us to be saved. If you will realize that through trust, accept that the word of Yah has to say, and made up your mind to serve him, then you will be victorious. You will never understand Yehovah's love for you, and I believe the key to loving yourself is comprehending the love that Yah has for you. Even with your imperfections, I can assure you it might be a big hurdle to jump, but it has to be jumped. You have to say it over and over to yourself, maybe. I am loved by Yah. He loves me. He made me. I'm awesomely made. He created me. He loves me, and it doesn't matter if no one else in the world loves me. I know that he does, and I will live with him for eternity. That's all that matters. I couldn't look in a mirror once. Because I felt nobody loved me, therefore I couldn't love me. At the close of Shaul's ministry, his desire was to comprehend the depths of Yah's love. Receive this in trust and let the word change your mind. Get rid of the baggage of condemnation. Another thing we believe about Yah is right in its truth, but often wrong in our application, is we can believe he can do anything. I'll say that again. We can believe he can do anything. If I asked for a show of hands, the majority of you would raise a hand to acknowledge and believe that Yah can do anything. Do you all believe Yah can do anything? That'd be right. I'm not denying that. You have asked Abraham in Bereshit 8 of Genesis 18 and 14a, is anything too hard for Yehovah? Of course, there isn't anything. And again, in Ephesians, it says, "Now to him by his power working in us is able to do far beyond anything we can ask or imagine." Don't worry, the adversary believes these and trembles. We can accept the fact that Yah can do anything. But we have trouble believing that Yah will do anything. And there's the difference between can and will. They are two totally different meanings. Can means that it is possible that you are able to do something. I know that my children would ask me if they could do something. Mum, can I do dinner? I says, yes, you can do it, but you may not do it now. You can do it, it's quite possible, but you may not. Same with Yah. Yah can do anything. But the problem is, we limit him when we say he can. Because we know that he will do it. His word tells us that he will. Will means that it is determined, that was said, comes into being. Can, it's possible, but will it come into being? That's what's important. The centurion that came to Yeshua believed that Yeshua would only speak the word, my servant will be healed. And the woman with the issue of blood said to herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Not I can be healed, I will be healed. This is something a lot of us have to take on for our own healing. Knowing that I will be healed because Yah wants me to be healed. It is a time we were transformed by the renewing of our minds. I believe Yah will do and wants to do many great things in our midst. But we have limited him with Yehovah can instead of Yehovah will. We boldly claim that if you will ask, Yehovah will forgive your sins. That's an easy statement to make. But our carnal mind can't see the sins being remitted. Can we not just as boldly reclaim that Yehovah will heal you today? There are many people within our congregation, both here in the room and online, who need a miracle healing in their lives right now. If you are ready to go out on a limb, trust always and go out on that limb and claim Yah's healing over your life, especially those online. No one questioned whether or not Yeshua would heal. They just expected it. Many of those who had come for healing or had brought someone else were not the least bit interested in living for Yah, but they were following only for the loaves and fishes, and yet Yeshua healed them all. How much more does he desire to touch those who love him and have committed their life to his cause? I'm telling you today that there's healing here for you, for every one of you. You just have to claim it and declare it. I have claimed Malachi's arteries to be restored to normal. And I pray for many of you who have different ailments, and I'm believing for a miracle for each one of you that I pray for every single day. But your faith has to match mine as well. Don't shortchange Yah. Nothing is too hard for him. His word tells us that. He is able to go far beyond anything we can ask or imagine. His word says that. Finally, we have some wrong ideas about ourselves, and as I said, I'm living proof of that. We look so often at our own inabilities, our frailties, our weaknesses, our personalities, our failures, our shortcomings, and we decide that Yehovah cannot use us. As you know, I'm not speaking to you today out of any desire of my own. It was Yah who chose me, and I had to overcome some huge hurdles just to stand in front of you, let alone speak. But Yah used a basic fisherman in Kaifa to preach his inaugural speech. He caused a scholarly Purush like Sha'ul to spread the gospel around the world. He used a donkey to stop a prophet. He used a slave girl to effect healing for Naaman. And he used a small boy's lunch to feed the multitude. And yet we hesitate to think Yah can use us. It's time to renew our minds. It's time for a transforming realization and rationalization of what we are in Yah. Trust without works is dead. It's time that we all acted in trust on what Yah desires to do in each of our lives. Claim that ministry that Yah put on your heart. This ministry here was never on my heart. It was never a desire of mine. It was something I was called to do when I was in praise and worship 25 years ago. And Yah has been with me every day ever since because he told me. I said, I can't speak. He said, I will provide the words. And I trust him for the message I bring you. As far as I'm concerned, none of it comes from me. The claim, I'm only standing here through his grace, and every message I bring from Yah, I cannot take the credit for any of it. As far as I'm concerned, it is Yah. It is he who brings the words. It's he who puts them together. And I just type them up and then I refine them a couple of days later and that's it. But it's Yah that does it. He gives me the basic thing in my head to start with and off we go. And that's how he gave me Beit Gan Eden. That's how he gave you the liturgy sheet. Because all of that was done in praise and worship. It's how he gave me the statement of purpose. It wasn't something I desired. It was Yah said, this is what I want you to do. And then he told me I was ahead of my time. 25 years ago we were far ahead of our time. But I believe it's time now. The time is right for renewing of our minds, for starting each and every one's, starting your own ministry. It doesn't matter what it is. I'm not saying leave here and go and start a ministry. What I'm saying is Yah uses you in different areas. It might be the work you're doing. It might be your job. That might be your ministry. You know, you don't know the things, the people that you work for. You don't know what Yah is going to, how Yah is going to use you. The people you come across in a supermarket or on the street. Yah is in control and he will give you the words to speak to the people at the right time and the right words. So I just praise Yah for what he's done in my life and in Malachi's life. And as I said, I've entitled his message, Keeping the Trust Without Losing Your Mind. But what we really need to do is lose the carnal mind and put on the spiritual mind. The spiritual mind sees through trust in Yah's word and chooses to make the sacrifice to go out on that limb and do what Yah has called us to do. Are there any questions? No? We'll move on to the remembrance service.